Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. I want to talk with you this morning concerning a good, good father. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7. I want you to look with me in verse 7. Matthew chapter 7. I want you to follow along with me in verse number 7 as we talk about a good, good father. One of the takeaways, one of the primary goals that I have this morning is that we might leave here with a better understanding of who God is. Sometimes, and I think it's also the heart of Jesus here, but sometimes as we are just completely overwhelmed with how sinful we can be, how fleshly we are, even on days when we really want to be as good as we can, we're often let down in our own minds because we come to find out very quickly we're not as good as we want to be, and often not as good as we should be. But nonetheless, when we kind of look at ourselves, sometimes we get down on ourselves and we feel almost unapproachable to the Lord. As a matter of fact, especially when we are making efforts in our Christian walk to try to quote unquote get better or quote unquote do better, as we're along in this journey and we trip up from time to time and we hit some hurdles and we hit some stumbling blocks, we just struggle. And it's kind of embarrassing between us and the Lord, and maybe sometimes our time with God is not so much what it needs to be because we just carry around this idea of He is so far there and I am so far here and this thing is just so complicated and you just quit. And maybe that's not how you feel, but I know that's things I wrestle with. These are things that I wrestle with. And I just got a sneaky feeling that if I'm wrestling with it, it's probably a good idea that probably some of you are wrestling with it too. So I want you to go with me in Matthew chapter 7, and I really want you to see the heart of a good, good father this morning. So go with me to Matthew 7, and I want you to look in verse number 7. Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give you good things, or give good things to those who ask him?" Verse 12. "So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Let's pray. Lord, in our time together, I pray, Father, in the urgency of the moment, help us, Lord, to understand who you are and what you'd have to say to us. Help us to glorify your name, to make much of Jesus. And Lord, to understand with clarity and to see with clarity today the throne of a good, good Father. Lord, we wouldn't begin to think that the reason we can call on your name today is because of our merits or our credits or who we are or what we've done. There is none good, no, not one. We have all sinned. We have all gone astray. We all wrestle with these things. Romans chapter 3 tells us this. So God, we know today that if we know you at all, if we have been brought from death to life, if you have quickened us, if we desire you at any level, it is because you have first loved us. And the only reason you do that is because you are a good, good Father. And so, Lord, we pray, help us today to see that, to know that, to embrace that, to understand that, to rest in that, and to be children that would bring glory to your name, doing unto others as we would have others do to us. For your glory and your honor, we'll ask these things in Jesus' name. Praying, Father, that from our time together, souls will be saved, lives will be changed, disciples will be made. And again, in Jesus' name, we'll pray these things. Amen. A good, good Father. There was a reason I asked Jesse and our crew this morning to sing that. It's because sometimes we just need to be reminded how good He really is. God is good when I'm not. God is good when I fail to ask Him for what I need. God is good when I fail to seek Him as I should. God is good when I give up on knocking on the throne room of heaven. God's still good. He's still good. He's still faithful. And today I just want to encourage you in that you are loved. You are loved. And I want you to realize something, that I have a pretty passionate delivery. I know that's surprising to some of you. I mean, I'm pretty intense. But if I ever seem intense or red-faced or passionate, it's not because I'm angry with anybody or anything per se. I'm just fired up about a good God. We have a lot of reason to be excited about who God is and what God has done and what God has promised us as our Heavenly Father. And if anything today, I would just want you to walk out of this sanctuary on this Memorial Day Sunday having a better view and a better understanding of who this good, good Father is. Some of you today, the best thing that could happen in your spiritual walk is for you just to be reminded or enlightened for the very first time of who God really is. And I think Jesus Christ is pulling back the veil of heaven this morning so that we might understand a little bit more about the heart of God. And so in understanding and knowing this good, good Father, there's a few questions that we might want to have answered in our own heart. So if you would, turn in your outline this morning as we follow along together in the back of your bulletin. Understand this. If it's your desire to believe God, there's a guarantee you've got to trust. If it's your desire to believe God for who He is as a good God, a good Father. And by the way, God's still good when He doesn't do everything I want Him to. Just like Jerry Blanton was still a good dad when he didn't do everything Stephen Blanton wanted him to. Because everything Stephen Blanton wanted Jerry Blanton to do might not have been in the best interest of Stephen Blanton. But nonetheless, I'm just glad I had a dad who cared for me and loved me enough to give me what I needed sometimes, not always what I wanted. And if my dad, being a man of the flesh, walking planet Earth with a sinful heart and a sinful nature, if he knew to do that, how much more does my Heavenly Father know to do the same and perfectly? And so as we talk about this good, good Father, I want you to know that this morning God really wants you to have confidence in Him, and God really wants you to believe in Him, and God really wants to be intimate with you as a father is to his child. And if you're going to do that, the first step in doing so is understanding that as a believer, I speak to believers this morning to begin with, that as a believer, there's a guarantee that you've got to build your life upon. Not just let it insert your life when things seem to be inconvenient or out of control. There's a guarantee that we as believers, we must build our life upon, and that guarantee is found in verses 7 and 8. Look at it. Ask. Jesus says, ask me. It'll be given to you. Seek me. Seek the Father. You will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. And by the way, this just came to mind. Sometimes we're knocking on the throne room's door. Sometimes we're knocking on the door of the throne room of heaven. And God always has an open door policy. Always. If you have sin in your life this morning and you know Jesus Christ, obviously you've allowed something into your life that's creating and driving a wedge between you and God. But I just want you to know, God always has an open door policy. Just like the Father was always looking over the horizon for the prodigal to return in Luke 15, so does the Heavenly Father always look for His children to call upon His name. God's door is always open to you. Then some of you may say this, well then why? I've been knocking on the throne room's door for years about a particular answer. Well, sometimes God opens the door just to allow you to come in and sit. But the reason you can't enjoy that is because you're waiting on an answer. I mean, I think about an illustration that just comes to mind. It used to drive my wife crazy. She's going to get me for this. But she's come to embrace it a little bit more now as we're maturing in years. But I remember when my wife and I began to date at the tender age of 14 and 15, I would bring my pretty little high school sweetheart over to my grandma and granddaddy's house, and we would all sit out on the front porch. And I just always remember Kristen saying, well, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to sit there. Well, what are we going to talk about? I don't know. Well, why are we doing that? Because we just like to sit on the front porch. Quit asking so many questions. It's not supposed to make sense. It's just what we do. And I don't know. I just, all the years of my life, I remember breaking beans on the front porch with my grandma, sitting on the front porch with my granddaddy in the swing, and just really had no agenda. Just being there. Just being out there. I remember one time me and my grandma sat on the front porch for 3 hours counting how many red cars went down the road. I mean, we live on the edge in Kings Mountain. Amen. If you want to know life at its fullest, go to 750 Oak Grove Road and I'll meet you on the porch. You know, there's a lot of things that we miss from God because we're not willing just to come sit with Him a while. We're so busy asking and seeking and knocking about something that God really don't want to speak to. Yet, He just wants to sit with you a while. That's the heart of God. Sometimes we're just knocking on heaven's door and it's so frustrating and we're just knocking, 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 and God is saying, it's always been open, honey. Come in. Yeah, but God, what about this? No, 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 just come in. But Lord, shh. There's a reason the psalmist says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. So every now and again it can get really frustrated as we're asking and seeking and knocking and we're just, God, give me, show me, please. And God just, we don't want to hear God say, shh. We want answers. But God doesn't work like that. I don't even know, that's not even the notes, but you need to know it. You need to know this morning that some of you are so incredibly frustrated with God because you're spending all your time and all your days and all your energy always asking and seeking and knocking and you're just a bunch of racket. Y'all, I'm from the country. Y'all know what racket is? You're noisy. And you can't hear from God because of all the noise. You never stop asking, you never stop seeking, you never stop pounding on the throne room and God's just saying, son, child, daughter, be quiet. Sit down. And like Kristen on the front porch, you're saying, but God, what are we going to do? You're going to sit here. But where are we going to go? Right here. But what are we going to do? Absolutely nothing. We're going to enjoy each other. And I've just come to tell you, until you get to a place in your life where you can just begin to enjoy the presence of God, asking, seeking, and knocking will always be frustrating to you. As a matter of fact, it can become so frustrating that you quit. Some of you in the room, you've been asking about something, seeking God for something, and knocking on His throne room for years according to some issue or problem or struggle or circumstance in your life, and you still yet to get any answer, and you're just as frustrated with God today as was when you started. And can I just tell you today, God is just as interested in the journey as He is the destinations of your life. And what He's trying to teach us on the journey is that sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is climb up on the porch and sit still for a while. And just spend some time with the Lord. And I think if we come to God in that spirit, instead of ask, seek, knock, if we come to God in the spirit of, Lord, we're just going to spend some time today. And should You desire to answer, I'll be here to hear it. Lord, should You desire to speak, I'm quiet enough to listen. So if we desire to believe God, there's a guarantee to trust. And here's the guarantee we have to rest in. For somebody resting in the guarantee of God, when you ask, it will be given. You can trust that. You can believe that. When you ask, it will be given. This is what Jesus said, verse 7 and also the first part of verse 8. Jesus is very intentional to place this promise strategically after verse 6. Notice here, verses 1 through 5 and then in verse 6, it's almost like Jesus is just, it's so random with what He's trying to tell us. In verses 1 through 5, He's talking about, don't you be a judge. And then in verse 6, He's telling you, but I want you to judge enough to understand who the dogs and the pigs are of life. And then in verse 7, it looks like He's just going completely off the radar with this idea about prayer. So He says, judge, don't be a judge, pray. Where are you going? And if I just get still this morning and try to hear the heart of God in the passage, here's what I'll learn. If I have a hard time with a judgmental spirit, and yet if I lack wisdom and discernment to know the will of God, I can ask Him for it. I can ask Him for it. And you know what? There's a lesson to be learned. When you ask somebody something, it's really an effort in humility, isn't it? I was sharing with my Sunday school class this morning. I remember one time when I was just a little boy, about Eli's age, I was with Miss Addie Louise Wright at 750 Oak Grove Road, Kings Mountain, North Carolina. And I was going to show Miss Addie Louise Wright, who had baked about 87 years, how good this 8-year-old could bake cookies. Because I don't need anybody's help. Anybody been there? And I baked something that looked like a chocolate chip brick. And I remember, I'll never forget this. I remember she was probably in mid to late 60s at that point. And I always knew when my grandma had had enough, she gritted her teeth. And she'd ball up her fists. Never hit me with them, but that's what she did. She'd ball up her fists and grit her teeth. And standing around that old farm table in that kitchen, she said, "Stephen, you've got to learn to let somebody help you. Stephen!" You knew you'd had it when the teeth are grit and you hear, "Stephen! You have had it." And it was just a mess. It was a train wreck. And the reason why it turned out to be such a mess is because as an 8-year-old, I didn't have enough humility to say, "Will you help me?" But you know what? That's true of a lot of us this morning, isn't it? The reason our life is such a mess is because we don't have enough humility to go before the throne room and say, "God, could you just help me, please? I'm asking you for leadership. I'm asking you for wisdom. I am asking you for guidance. I am asking for your will. I am asking you to align my life to what you would desire." And the Bible's promise, the Bible's guarantee to you this morning, ask and it'll be given. If you're humble enough to seek God for wisdom, James 1:5 says, you'll get it. Alright? Secondly, when you ask, it will be given firstly. Secondly, when you seek, it will be found. Here's the guarantee every one of you can rest on this morning before the heart and throne of God. When you ask, it'll be given. When you seek, it will be found. Well, what are you seeking for? What are you pursuing? Well, here's the deal. And here's another way we get frustrated before God. A lot of times, we're seeking God for what He says or what He can do, not who He is. Do you hear me? A lot of the reasons we get frustrated in our walk with Christ is because we're always seeking God for what He has said or what He can do, not who He is. But listen, when I seek Him for who He is, I'll always get what He says and what He can do. God's never going to detach His nature. He's never going to kind of divide Himself up. When you seek Him for who He is, then you get everything else that goes with Him. So pursue Him first. When Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given, seek and you will find," here's what He's telling you to seek. He's telling you to seek God. Seek the Lord. Quit seeking only what He does. Quit seeking just what He has to say about a particular circumstance in your life. Spend some time with Him. Seek Him. And as you seek Him, you'll hear Him. Jeremiah 29:13. The Bible is giving us another promise. You will seek me. You will seek me, God says. You will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Can I just go ahead and tell you this morning? You're going to get incredibly frustrated, perhaps even quit in your pursuit of God if you're trying to pursue God always distracted. Always distracted. When you seek God, I'm not telling you that every time you call God's name in prayer that the whole world needs to shut down, but I will tell you this, there are times when it needs to. God is with you wherever you go, but your prayer life should be deeper than just what you whisper to Him on the way to work. God will meet you wherever you are, but your prayer time with Him needs to be a little bit deeper than just the grace you say over your lunch. God will speak to you anywhere you are, but there also needs to be some time when you shut the world off. And you just get quiet before God so you can hear Him and Him alone. I know God can meet us anywhere. I know God can meet us everywhere. I know God desires to speak with me wherever I'm at. But I'll just tell you this. God wants more time with me than just windshield time in a red Chevrolet truck. He wants time with me when I have cut off the phone, I've cut off the television, I've cut off anything that could bother me just long enough to be with Him. And if you seek me with all your heart, the promise is, you'll find me. You'll find me. Let me just encourage you, please take some time in the near future just to slide up beside your good, good Father and know Him for who He is. Quit always asking Him for what He can give and what He would say. Just be with Him. Be with Him first. And out of that, you'll find what you need. You will find what you need. I know that sounds so mystical, so mysterious out there. No, I'm just simply telling you, quiet your life. And you'll hear the voice of God. Let me qualify that. Quiet your life and open His Word and you will hear the voice of God. Quiet your life and open His Word and you will hear God. You seek Him, you will find Him. Finally, when you knock, it will be given to you. Keep calling, stay persistent. Keep knocking on the throne room. Always have an open door policy. Some of you know I'm a Civil War buff. I love the Civil War. I love studying anything about the Civil War. I love studying both sides, generals, majors, leaders, whoever on both sides of the argument there. And we could talk about that later if you'd like. But I'm a Civil War buff. One of my favorite U.S. presidents is good old Honest Abe. And so I study about Abraham Lincoln and I study often. And one of the most fascinating things about the life of Abraham Lincoln is that he always gave young Tad the right to interrupt him anytime he wanted. Tad Lincoln can come in Lincoln's office anytime he wanted, no matter what. No matter who Lincoln was talking to, no matter what dignitary Lincoln was dealing with, Tad always had a right to come to his father's office. And I just begin to study this message and I'm thinking, that has to be the heart of God. No matter who else is calling on the name of the Lord, God's always got time for me. God's door is always open. God always has a moment to speak with Stephen. And so that's also true for His children. That's true for you. God's never too busy for you. That's the heart of a good father. Keep knocking on the door. The door is always open. Knock first, then the Lord will welcome you in. Secondly, if I desire to understand God, there's a resemblance to recognize. We move right out of that illustration right into verses 9 through 11. If I want to believe God, there's a guarantee to trust. If I want to understand God, there's a resemblance to recognize. Look in verses 9 through 11. Verse 9, he asks a question. Which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? First of all, I want you to think about the heart of a father. And by the way, please hear me out. Now, I shared this in Sunday school. I'll share it with you now. There's always somebody that wants to remind you of a deadbeat dad somewhere. You start talking about a dad, used to have a good dad, want to have a good dad, like a good dad. Here's what a good dad does. Somebody always wants to remind you, well, I never had that. Somebody's always wanting to tell you about a Lifetime movie. Somebody's always wanting to remind you about some Discovery Channel network, you know, crime files, mystery, whatever, where some dads did some horrible thing, and that's how we judge all dads. Well, I don't think that's true, honestly. As a matter of fact, the reason that we give those stories so much attention is because they are indeed not the norm. I'm just being honest with you. I know we have fathers who have checked out on their responsibility. I know we have dads in our day and age who are not really dads nor men. They're little boys who can procreate. I get that. I don't need anybody to meet me at the back door and tell me that we have an epidemic of little boys in this country who are birthing children who have no right to father them. I am well aware. Trust me, I work with it every day. But I will tell you this. That's not just a 21st century problem. That was a first century problem. That's been a human problem. That's a problem of the flesh. And it's not only true in 2016, it was true in the first century, but here's one thing that's also true. It had to be at least the norm for dads to love their children to some extent, or this illustration would have made no sense. Think about the logic. Jesus makes this illustration out of verses 9 and 10 because the norm is, even if a dad doesn't know Jesus, the norm is this. Dad, can I have a sandwich? Sure, son, here's a rock. That don't happen. Dad, even an atheistic pagan who could care less about the things of God. Dad, can we eat fish tonight? No, son, I'm going to give you a rattlesnake. Jesus is building an illustration off of a very common logical reality. Even evil fathers, and we're all that because we've all been marked by sin. If you don't believe me, read Romans chapter 3, most depressing chapter in the Bible. There is none good, no, not one. And that describes all of us. But even we who are evil in our sinful nature, even we, when our children walk up to us and say, can I have lunch now? Try to give them something. And even we who are evil, when our children come up and say, well, I sure would like to have this for supper, even most of dads in America will try some kind of half-cocked effort to make it happen. Dad, can I have fish? I took you to McDonald's, boy. Filet of fish, get one. And if that's true, if we being evil know how to listen to our children, how much more do you think God does? Listen to me. I know this is true. I know this is true. Some of you are very frustrated at God because God didn't speak on a matter or God didn't come through on something that you wanted Him to. And you feel as if either there's not a God or God's not listening to you, or God doesn't care for you. How can you say that and read Matthew chapter 7? And just because you feel that, listen to me this morning, just because you may feel that doesn't mean that this passage is any less true. And I'm just telling you today, if you feel that towards your Heavenly Father, you're probably missing it somewhere. Oh, don't get me wrong. I've been very frustrated at God. It's a very human response. And by the way, the question of why, let me just go ahead and clarify something. Everybody said, don't ever question God. We need to question God. No, your questions don't scare Him, not one bit. Not one bit. You think God is sitting up there saying, how dare you say the W word? Your questions don't bother Him a bit. As a matter of fact, there are biblical examples all through the Old Testament of great men of God who said, God, what are you doing here? Now, when I begin to question the motive of God, then I'm in trouble. But when I begin to question the heart of God just to know what my God is doing, He's okay with that. He's okay with that. Why? Because He loves you. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. He loves you. Okay? So you see this is true in the heart of a father, but let's see how pure it is in the heart of the Father. In the heart of the Father. Just one verse as we get ready to close. In Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 32, listen to this. Paul says this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now listen. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? What more can God give you? I mean, just roll it around in your mind. What more can God give you? He spared not the blood of His own Son. What else could He give you? Is there anything greater? Is there any greater gift that He could have provided for you than the blood of His own Son? Absolutely not. He spared not His own Son to show you how much He loves you. And He does love you, and He does desire you, and He does care for you. And He's calling you today, if you'll just listen to Him. Hey, 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 listen! Just call on Him! It'd be different if we're close to God as we think we ought to be. It'd be different if we're walking with God as close as we think we need to be. It'd be different if we're winning souls to Christ. It'd be different if the church was growing exponentially as the first century church did. But more often than not, we're not seeing first century Christianity. We're seeing a Christianity that's tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, wondering if there is a God anymore. And I'm just telling you, there is a good, good Father. And if you'll ask and seek and knock and pursue Him, you'll know the goodness of God if you choose to see it. He is a good God. He's good even when He doesn't do what I want Him to do. He's good even when He goes silent. He's good even when it seems like He's 1,000 miles away. God is still good. And if I ever question that, then my problem's not with God, it's with Stephen. We have got to wake up to the goodness of God, man. I know this world's tough. I know it's hard. I know every single day of our life, there's reason for us to worry and be anxious and troubled and discouraged and defeated. But my goodness, there's a God in heaven who loves you. As a matter of fact, He loves you so much, He spared not His own Son to rescue you from this earth to give you eternal life with Him in heaven. That's how much God loves you. He's a good God. I feel better now. Finally, if I want to know this good, good Father, if I desire to obey Him, there's a rule to embrace. I want to leave you with a thought from verse 12. Now again, it seems like Jesus has taken us somewhere. Where are you going, God? You talk about judgment in verses 1 through 5. Don't judge. Then in verse 6, you tell me it's okay to be a discerning judge. Then in verses 7 through 11, you're saying, now pray. Now in verse 12, do unto others you have them do it. They seem like all freestanding principles, but they're not. They're all linking together like a necklace of pearls. Here's the deal. If I'm asking God for discernment and wisdom, if I'm asking, seeking God so that I understand that I'm not the judge of heaven and earth, He is. If I am knocking on the door of the throne room so that I can know God's presence and power in my life, then He will empower me to do unto others as I would have them do to me, even when I don't want to. Even when I don't want to. You know, we all want to return a special favor with a special favor. Somebody sends you a nice little card, sends you a nice little gift, you start thinking, well, you know what, I just ought to for them. Well, that's easy. Of course you want to do that. We all operate like that, but that's not called grace, that's called justice. You did this for me, I'll do that for you. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Grace is in loving others the way you want to be loved, even when it's tough to do that. And if I embrace the golden rule, there's a couple things I need to do. First of all, listen to this. Think about the logic out of verse 12. Now listen, I need to approach God like the child I would want to have. I have good boys. I really do. I'm blessed to have them. They're just like me. Handsome, academic, scholarly. That ain't funny. And then every now and again, their mother's genes sweep in and they disobey from time to time. But then more often than not, the Blanton gene takes over and they reserve themselves. Yeah, y'all know the truth, don't you? Amen. But I do have good boys. And let me tell you, as a dad, here's one of the most precious things that I enjoy as a father. Usually in the morning, my little Emery will get up, hair going in 90 different directions, eyes all matted, carrying his little wolfie, little beanbag wolf. And he's walking down the hall and he'll come in and I'm drinking a cup of coffee. Or so every now and again I'm in the recliner and I'm doing my quiet time and he just crawls up in my lap. Everything is right in the world. There ain't nothing better. I'm telling you, that's good stuff, man. Don't call me. I will not answer. because right in that moment, the world has now stopped. I just love it when he just crawls up in my lap and we just kind of sit and chill. He'll tell me all kind of things I never wanted to know about Ninja Turtles. But I listen because I love him. It's not because I love Ninja Turtles. I used to. But I love him. So I just want to hear what he's got to say. You know what? We all want the child that receives what we have to say. We all want the child that includes us in our life. We all want the child, in their lives rather, we all want the child who will obey us. We all want the child who will listen well. We all want that type of kid, don't we? Well, listen, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Here's the principle in our relationship between us and God. I want to become the child to God that I want in my home. Did you hear me? I want to become the child to God that I want to raise in my home. I want to crawl up in the lap of God. When's the last time you just told God something and didn't ask Him for anything? Lord, I tell you, I prayed about Helen Dellinger. She was no blood relation to me, but I called her Grandma because from about 18 months to 13 years of age, she kept me more on a given day than my own mom or dad because they had to work. Helen Dellinger is who I learned how to plant a garden and farm after. When I'm out here doing my little garden, that's me, Jesus, and Helen time. So leave me be. But you're always welcome. But I remember Helen walking out on the front porch of her 1913, 1914 farmhouse. Been in the family four or five generations. I would remember walking out on her front porch and just standing beside her. And she used to cry when it rained. And if you've planted a garden and you've farmed, that's precious stuff. You don't sit there and get all huffy and puffy because your hair's going to be frizzy that day. When the rain finally comes, you're thanking God. And she used to smile and just stand there on the porch and just weep and just sit there and just stand there by the screen door and just weep and just say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Just the little things, just the little things. We miss it. We miss the presence of God because we're so stinking busy. We don't stop long enough to see what God's doing all around us. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, down from the Father of lights, who has no shadow of changing. It's James chapter 1, verse 17. Go read it. Our God is good. And if you choose to see Him, I'm telling you, you see Him in everything. So why don't we approach God the way we would like our children to approach us? Let's start there. See, sometimes we're always approaching God about our children, aren't we? Aren't we? Lord, I tell you, he acts just like his mama. I need you to help that boy. Golly. Lord, he's got his mama's temper. See, I'm going to pay for today, I'm telling you. We're always talking to God about our children instead of us talking to God as children. Some of you, the most spiritual thing you could do is to get in your vehicle, go somewhere quiet, and just talk with the Lord. I told this to my Sunday school class. You know, the Bible says that Moses talked to God as a man speaks to his friend. I can't nail this down, but if we ever kind of walked up on Moses talking to God, we might be led to believe that Moses might have been a little crazy. Who are you talking to like that? I want my relationship with the Lord to be so intimate that if you walked by me talking to Him, you'd think, that boy is crazy. And I'm okay with it. The world always thinks I'm a nut anyway. And I am for Jesus. I am a nut for Jesus. Guys, listen to me. Our God wants to be close with us. And if I am becoming the child I want to have to my Heavenly Father will help me love others as I want to be loved. He'll help me love others that are hard to love. Let me give you an illustration. Yesterday, my wife and I, my family, went up to the outlets. Thank you, Lord. I don't believe in purgatory.
But if there were ever a place that came close, it's got to be Walmart and the outlets. But nonetheless, we go to Walmart. We go to the outlets. And so, as men always do, we do one of two things. We find the man chair, or we go find the outdoor store. So, I chose yesterday to find the outdoor store. So, I walk through the outlets, and I go down to the Field and Stream. When I go down to the Field and Stream, there in the center section there, they got a stand of T-shirts. And I see those T-shirts there, and I thought, man, I like that shirt. That's a good-looking shirt. And then my second thought was, I ain't paying that. It ain't worth that. And then, I'm just telling you, here's how God does. It's what God does all the time. He just loves to test you, doesn't he? And that's what he did. Here's what the Spirit of God just purposed in my heart. He put a gentleman on my mind. He said, buy it for him. Lord, you didn't hear me. I want the shirt. Lord, I'm the one that wants it. I don't even know if they'll like it. I like this one. Again, well, then you buy it for him. I walked away from that T-shirt stand. You talking about people thinking you're crazy? If anybody was mall watching me, they would have thought I was a nut. I'll go up to this stand and stand there and literally just look and then walk away. I get about 10 foot from it and I just kind of... That's number two. And I'm saying, no. Just walk off. About 10 foot from it, Spirit of God. And I knew it was the Lord because I'm telling you, God will not let something go. He'll wait you out. And every time, you go get it for Him. Okay. And you know what just come to my mind? Matthew 7, verse 12. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I wanted that. And I was not going to buy it for me. But the Spirit of God wanted to teach me a lesson. And it was worth every penny. Maybe you don't think you're worth it. But there's others who are. And you are too, son. But I'm really going to test you. You get it for them. A lot of times we grip life just like this. Because we're scared. But if I see God as a good, good Father, He is the giver of all good things. If I know that all I need to do is ask my daddy. If all I have to do is knock on the door of heaven and my daddy will answer, then I don't have to live my life gripping it, scared to lose it. I can let it go because daddy's got it all. That's the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is the law and the prophets. So love God that you quit loving yourself and you can learn to love others. That's the law and the prophets. And you can do that when God is a good, good Father in your life. Is there anybody here today, you're just scared to death? You're gripping life, or maybe you've asked and you've sought and you've knocked on the door of heaven and you feel like you're getting nowhere. Could I just ask you something? Today, would you just allow yourself to chill out? And just walk up on the porch with the Lord and spend some time with Him today? Quit asking Him for so much stuff. Just ask for Him. Quit seeking Him for what He can do. Just seek Him. Quit always knocking for the next thing. Knock and sit with Him. He's a good Father. He loves you. Just spend some time with your daddy. Through the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. Daddy. Romans 8, verse 26. Just cry out to your daddy today. He loves you. No matter what you think of your earthly father, you got a heavenly Father who loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He who spared not His own Son, how could He not also give us all good things? He loves you. That's a guarantee from God. Just rest in it today. Just rest in it today. If you're here today and you've never been introduced to this good, good Father, you can through Jesus. Jesus died for you on the cross. 3 days after He died, He resurrected from the grave. He gave you a new life on earth and eternal life in heaven. You are loved in Jesus. And if you want to give your heart to Christ today, I'm just simply challenging you. Have some courage. Step out where you are. Walk this aisle. Let's talk about some next steps. If you think God is leading you to join this church, our arms are open. But when you join here, be ready to get involved and serve. So you're welcome. But if you'd just like to spend some time with a good Father at the altar, it's open too. His door's open this morning. Walk on in. God will talk with you. As we stand together, let's pray.